Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and managing to stay dry out there. Thank you ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 23rd of October. We'll have more on Storm Benjamin later, along with the latest on Reform UK's problems at Kent County Council and concerns about cuts to fire and rescue services in the county due to a lack of funding. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Residents are calling for action over traffic chaos in Maidstone that's seen lorries struggling to make it up a slippery hill. It's been happening since traffic lights were installed at the bottom of Willington Street at the junction with Derringwood Drive in Maidstone in August last year. Lucy's got some more details for the podcast. First of all, Luce, can you outline exactly what the problem is?
Well, as you say, the traffic lights were installed last August by house builder Bellway as one of the mitigation measures for its new estate at Parsonage Place in Ottam. At the time, there were safety concerns about their installation, with local bosses concerned people would jump the lights to get a good run up the hill. But what we've actually been seeing, particularly in wet weather, is lorries struggling to gain enough traction to get up the hill. We've got some audio here of one of them. So what's happening is they're coming to a stop at the lights, but then they can't get enough grip on the wet roads to get going again.
And obviously that's having an impact on traffic.
Yes, in fact, sometimes the only option is for the heavy vehicles to reverse back down the road and try again with a run-up. Just this week, we saw Willington Street closed for more than an hour while one HGV had several attempts. Neighbours say as well as the obvious dangers, it's also very disruptive with the screeching noise of the wheels slipping followed by the beeping of the reverse warning.
So what do residents want done about it?
One resident has written to the KCC cabinet member for highways asking for anti-skid surfacing to be laid. However, the local authority said it was their policy to only install high-friction surfacing at locations where there's a history of crashes. They go on to say they have to prioritise their limited resources to deliver remedial measures in areas where there's a clear and consistent pattern of incidents. So for the moment, it looks like nothing will be done.
Thanks, Lucy. You can see videos of the struggling lorries by clicking on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A man's been charged by police investigating reports of a sex attack on a teenager on Tunbridge Wells Common. A girl's said to have been assaulted by a stranger while walking home on Saturday night. A 46-year-old from Tunbridge is due in court. Police investigating a fatal crash near Whitstable want to speak to a driver who might have important information. A man in his 50s died after his car collided head-on with a van on the Thanet Way at Chestfield last Thursday night. The van driver is still in hospital. Officers are keen to hear from the driver of another vehicle that was travelling through Whitstable at the time. Other top stories today. A misconduct hearing has heard a former Kent Police Special Constable repeatedly hit a child in the groin area while they volunteered together. Jasper Pryor was found to have struck the 15-year-old three times at Coldharbour Police Station in Aylesford while he was working as an unpaid officer. He denied the allegation and regarded it as banter. The tribunal heard had he not already left the role, he would have been sacked. A teenage girl has been arrested following reports of an assault in Ashford. Police were called to Repton Park Estate on Tuesday night. The victim is understood to have suffered minor injuries. A suspect was spotted on the roof of a building in the Lower High Street. A short time later, she was removed with the help of fire crews. A Kent builder has appeared in court after conning a customer out of more than £30,000 for home improvements. Wayne Miller deliberately concealed his bankrupt status from the victim, who lived in Canterbury. The project was abandoned when it was nowhere near finished. Now the 55-year-old from Romney Road in Lydd has been given a suspended sentence and ordered to pay compensation. Now, more pressure is being piled on the leader of Kent County Council. Over the last few days, we've been keeping you up to date with all the latest from County Hall after a video was leaked showing Lyndon Kamkaran arguing and swearing at council members during a virtual meeting. Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. He's with me now to talk about the latest updates. First up, Simon, what do we know about this suggestion that official complaints have been lodged to Reform UK party headquarters about the leadership at KCC?
Well, we understand that there are at least five complaints, and we've spoken to a number of complainants who tell us that they have lodged complaints. Now, those complaints would have gone as is the process, to a regional organiser and then would have been sent up to head office to be dealt with. What stage those complaints are at, I'm not entirely sure, and the head office isn't telling us what's going on either. However, what it does point to, in most cases, is a culture and the style of leadership at Kent County Council is something that seems to be a common theme throughout, as indeed are the names of people that they're complaining against. There did seem to be, over the summer, something of a rebellion brewing between, I'm told, between sort of 10 and 15 councillors were sufficiently unhappy to be talking about staging some sort of a rebellion. I don't quite know what that might turn out to be, but in the end, it sort of fizzled out. But during that period, these complaints were definitely lodged. And what I do understand is that that they will be dealt with, but it all feeds into this problem that the leader, Lyndon Kemp-Caron, has, in that she could be facing a possible vote of no confidence by a backbencher at Kent County Council.
What about this idea that she's written to the remaining councillors asking them to back her, basically, to sign a pledge of allegiance, if you like, to say that she should still be leader?
Well, as I understand it, a lot of those councillors felt as if they had to sign it as opposed to wanting to sign it. Quite where she's got in the numbers, because with 7 of her councillors missing, it means that of a possible 50, she's obviously got to try and get 50 people to back her in order to give a semblance of unity within the party, but also to show anyone who might be thinking of staging a vote of no confidence that they probably won't win. So that kind of shores up her position. I mean, longer term, people keep asking me, as you asked me this morning, you know, is she likely to go? I've absolutely no idea.
If she does go, any potential candidates to take over the leadership?
I did ask somebody, a backbencher, this last night, and you know, there could be any number of people in the cabinet. There could be one or two on the backbenches, but no names spring to mind as far as I'm concerned. But there would be obviously the contenders who would be in sort of the top tier.
Are you getting a sense that something has to happen soon? I mean, the video was leaked over the weekend, and we've had a couple of days of mounting pressure now. It feels like we're sort of reaching a critical point where something has to happen.
It really depends on how it's viewed at HQ. I mean, Lyndon Kemp-Caron, whatever anyone might think of her, be it her own party or even the people in the opposition, you know, she is a bit of a poster girl for the whole Reform UK future. I mean, she's a highly intelligent, articulate woman leading the biggest county council in the country. And, you know, that's no mean job. And depending how you view it, they would be very, very keen to keep her. So I suppose that the longer it rumbles on, the weaker she could become. The longer it rumbles on and she doesn't leave, possibly you could argue that she's actually getting stronger.
Thanks, Simon. If you missed it, Sir Keir Starmer mentioned the situation at Kent County Council in the Commons earlier this week.
Mr Speaker, councils have a vital role in our communities. And it's not just Durham where Reform are doing real. I think 4 councillors in Kent have just been suspended for bringing the party into disrepute. I mean, that is, bring the party into disrepute is quite something for a party whose Welsh leader accepts Russian bribes to spread Putin's propaganda.
To keep up to date and see all the latest developments on this story as they break, head to Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A Folkestone man who posed as a 16-year-old boy online has been sent to prison for abusing young girls. Lucifer Hunter sent and requested explicit messages and pictures to his victims and threatened them if they blocked or refused his requests. The 24-year-old from the state has been locked up for 5 years and will be subject to a 15-year sexual harm prevention order. A suspected drink driver has been arrested after a car crashed into the front of a home in Strood. Pictures at Kent Online show damage to a bungalow on Cuxton Road. It happened on Sunday evening. A woman in her 40s was also questioned on suspicion of assaulting an emergency worker before being released on bail. Now, Kent has been battered by Storm Benjamin today after we were warned to expect heavy downpours and wind gusts of up to 70 miles per hour. It was a tricky day for drivers with plenty of incidents across the county. The A20 Ashford Road in Hothfield was closed at around 6 this morning, and one person suffered minor injuries in a crash due to the poor driving conditions. Also on the M20, there were reports of a tree blown onto the London-bound carriageway near Junction 10. On the Isle of Sheppey, there were reports both Halfway Road in Sheerness and Lower Road in Minster were flooded. The A249 southbound was also partially blocked, with traffic queuing for 3 miles due to an accident after the A2 Key Street roundabout. As you'd expect, there's also been problems crossing the Channel. Irish Ferries announced delays of up to 90 minutes on its services between Dover and Calais due to the poor weather conditions. And DFDS Seaways said their Dover-Calais ferries were delayed by an hour. You can keep up to date with all the latest travel information on the travel blog at Kent Online, or you can listen to live updates on KMFM.
Kent Online News.
Fire bosses in Kent are warning they'll be forced to make cuts if they don't get an increase of funding. Council tax is a significant source of funding for Kent Fire and Rescue Service. They've asked people if they'll back an increase of 9p a week. That money will be used to directly support their operations. I've been speaking to Chief Executive Anne Millington.
If a fire engine costs something like £750,000, so we have to replace these every sort of 12 to 15 years. There's lots of kit, as you would imagine, in terms of fire and rescue service. But primarily, obviously, we're also a very people service. So we've got 1,610 people, and they deliver very specific services. So we've got people who are doing protection, that's kind of building safety. Prevention, that's out in people's homes doing very specific advice in terms of smoke alarms and general advice. And then we work with people who are more vulnerable, and we have a specific team who work with people who say who have dementia or other kind of illnesses that mean they need a bit more support. And then, of course, we've got our amazing firefighters who are out there then delivering. If it all goes wrong, they're out there doing it, because people always think it's fire. It's not just fire. That's road collisions. We had some poor soul fall down a cliff yesterday, mud rescues. We see high levels nowadays of people drowning, sadly, in Kent, and trying to prevent that. And lots of mental health issues that can create... people obviously get into that point where they may have suicidal feelings, and police, us, ambulance, everybody involved in supporting people more on that. So there's a lot of services we provide, and the costs are going up all the time. So obviously contract costs for different things. We have to pay our bills for the electricity and the gas like everybody else.
And so tell me a little bit about the survey that you've opened up. What are you asking for people's opinions on?
Well, so every single year we're consulting on a number of things, but we consult on the council tax very specifically as well. And in effect, we're saying there are three options that people have. So one is that we can freeze the council tax. They can increase it by the 9p a week, which obviously what we would like. Or we always allow a bit in there where people can say, you tell us what you would be prepared to pay. And I think it's fair to say that year in, year out, people will feel... the high percentage of people will say, yes, we really want to support the fire and rescue service. We can see very directly what you're doing. We were just rated in our inspection as being outstanding and good across most of the areas. So we're using that money very, very efficiently. There's no waste going on. So on that basis, when people are paying us, it very directly feeds then back into direct service. So those are the three options they've got. We would love people to go onto our website. We've also got some paper copies around, but our website is the best place. And they just simply have to go in and put their vote in, so to speak. And that information is used when we talk to our councillors back in our main meeting, with the budget setting meeting in February that's coming next year.
And just finally, Anne, what would you like people to bear in mind if they do fill out the survey, as you say, a paper copy, or if they do it online? What should they keep in their mind as they're filling out the survey?
Well, I suppose to sound the most drastic part of this, that if we don't get a meaningful council tax rise, it will mean having to look at cuts. And because something like 75% of our work is at the front line, in reality, there aren't that many places to go to find those kinds of cuts and savings. So if we don't get a meaningful council tax rise, and obviously two-thirds of it comes from directly from the public, it will mean, sadly, that we will have to make very direct savings in some of the things that we do. Because there aren't, all the kind of low-hanging fruit, so to speak, was taken years ago. We've taken those easy wins in terms of what we can save. So it's not very easy to find savings nowadays, other than, sadly, having to cut bits of the front line, which we don't want to do.
You've got until January the 12th to have your say. A campaign has been launched to save orchards in Canterbury from being redeveloped into a huge new housing estate. 2,000 new homes could be built on the farmland near Winchy, but residents are calling for council to reconsider. Those against say the project is unsustainable. sustainable, a petition has already gathered more than 1,100 signatures. Plans are being put forward for 250 homes on farmland in Faversham. They're being proposed for Brogdale Road, in addition to the thousands of new builds that are already in the pipeline for the area. Swale Council have opened a public consultation. New roads and public open spaces are thought to be included in the project. A developer has pledged to contribute almost £2 million to local infrastructure as part of plans to build 100 homes in Medway. In 2022, Council agreed to the proposals for the land off Stoke Road in Hoo. The first residents are expected to move in from early 2027. Now, bosses at a specialist mental health college in Whitstable have accused the County Council of cutting their funding. Far Academy provides education for 16 to 25-year-olds with additional needs or who have experienced trauma. A row over their contract with KCC means around 20 pupils won't be able to go back after half term. Lucy's been chatting to Brent Lewis, who is the head teacher and CEO of the college.
We've been going since 2009. We've been based in Whitstable since 2012. And we're a specialist mental health college. So we work with the most vulnerable and traumatised young people within Kent. And they come to us using our service. They get their education and they also get mental health support through counselling, psychotherapy, and with a baseline assessment for their needs. So we're very, very specialised. We're very successful in what we do. So we have around 24 young people from Kent with us. And they all have mental health issues, educational healthcare plans, or things like autism, and a lot of them will have self-harm or suicidal tendencies as well due to trauma that they faced in their childhood. So we put a package together supporting their holistic needs, but also their educational needs. They stay with us for a few years, and then they'll move on to college or work and hopefully rebuild their lives.
So obviously you heard about this last week. What was the impact when sort of staff and students heard about this? What was kind of going on in the college?
It's been extremely stressful. Most parents and myself and my staff have really found this difficult. We've been discussing with Kent commissioning team since last year about prices and funding. And they haven't stuck to any of this, and they're just choosing to get rid of all these young people from their safe space and put them somewhere else so they won't stay in college or they won't learn and their mental health will be affected. This whole process, unfortunately, some of them have already, after a few years, started to self-harm again, and KCC are undoing all the work we've put in. They're not thinking about the future. They're not thinking about the mental health and education of these young people. They're purely thinking about budget and what can we do to maybe try and win the next election or something. It's not going to happen. What they've done is actually traumatising many young people and their families.
What kind of impact will it have, not only on the individual students, but also the community as a whole, not having the college for KCC pupils?
The impact is going to be huge. We're very much community-based college. So the young people work within the community. We connect with other businesses and the Horse Bridge in Whitstable. We work with the Whitstable Twinning Association. So twice a year, we take the kids out to France and Germany for the new experiences. And we do a lot within the community. We're working at the harbour at the moment, doing some memorials for the area. So the impact is huge. Yeah, it's huge and extremely devastating.
In response, Kent County Council gave us this statement.
KCC was informed on the 13th of October 2025 by Far Academy of its decision to cease operations on the 15th of October. This unexpected action has left us no choice but to immediately begin arranging suitable alternative provision for the 23 young people currently funded by the council, and we have contacted families to ensure continuity of support. KCC has negotiated fees with FAR Academy in previous years. However, this academic year, the provider submitted invoices which were 52% higher than agreed, with no supporting evidence to justify this increase. To avoid disruption while negotiations continued, KCC advised the provider of the commitment to pay invoices submitted at the agreed rate while awaiting their supporting evidence to justify the increase. Despite repeated requests, FAR Academy has not provided this information and therefore KCC cannot responsibly agree to such a substantial increase or any other negotiated rate. KCC remains committed to supporting the affected young people and are working with Salt College and other settings located nearby to ensure they receive high-quality education.
Kent Online News.
A street artist that's been dubbed Kent's Banksy has painted a tribute to a famous wandering cat in Canterbury. Sadly, gallivanting Griffin was hit by a car and killed earlier this month. There's been an outpouring of tributes from his thousands of social media followers. Now an artwork depicting him has been painted in Northgate. You can see pictures on the local page of our website. It's been revealed a former WH Smith and post office in Margate could be turned into a bingo hall. The shop in the high street shut in April last year and has been empty ever since. An amusement operator bought the site for £300,000 and says bingo would boost footfall. A former opera house in Tunbridge Wells could be turned into a 14-bed hotel. Developers have put in plans to convert part of the Grade 2 listed building on the corner of Mount Pleasant Road and Newton Road. The ground floor is currently home to Burger King, but the upper levels have been empty for at least two decades. An American fast food chain known for its fried fish platters has opened its first European branch in Broadstairs. Captain D's has 535 stores across the US, with the outlet in Westwood Cross opening on Monday. Bosses say the response from the public has exceeded all expectations.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first down Romeo Hutton will be available to play for Gillingham this weekend as his red card has been overturned. He was sent off in last Saturday's 1-0 defeat at Grimsby, but the Gills have successfully appealed the decision. They'll still be without Johnny Williams and Sam Gale for their game against Salford City as they're both serving bans. To cricket, England have suffered their first defeat at the Women's World Cup despite a half century from Dover's Tammy Beaumont. She scored 78 runs in their game against Australia, with England eventually losing by 6 wickets. Both teams had already qualified for the knockout stages. And briefly in rugby, young players from both Vigo and Canterbury have had the chance to impress in the latest Defender Rising Stars Cup. It's an initiative hosted by Prem Rugby Clubs for under-11s and under-12s that offers them the chance to experience a professional environment. It's hosted at Saracens and promotes teamwork, respect and discipline. You can see pictures of the event on our website. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, with no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.